Our first reading is from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 10, beginning at verse 12. And now, O Israel, what does the Lord your God ask of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and to observe the Lord's commands and decrees that I am giving you today for your own good. To the Lord your God belong the heavens, even the highest heavens, the earth and everything in it. Yet the Lord set his affection on your forefathers and loved them, and he chose you, their descendants, above all the nations, as it is today. Circumcise your hearts, therefore, and do not be stiff-necked any longer. For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome, who shows no partiality and accepts no bribes. He defends the cause of the fatherless and the widow, and loves the alien, giving him food and clothing. And you are to love those who are aliens, for you yourselves were aliens in Egypt. Fear the Lord your God and serve him. Hold fast to him and take your oaths in his name. He is your praise. He is your God, who performed for you those great and awesome wonders you saw with your own eyes. Your forefathers who went down into Egypt were 70 in all, and now the Lord your God has made you as numerous as the stars in the sky. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The gospel reading is taken from Mark, chapter 10, verses 35 to 45. Hear the gospel of our Lord according to Mark. The request of James and John. When James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him, "Teacher," they said, "we want you to do for us whatever we ask." "What do you want me to do for you?" he asked. They replied, "Let one of us sit on your right and the other your left in your glory." "You don't know what you're asking," Jesus said. "Can you drink the cup I drink or be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with?" "We can," they answered. Jesus said to them, "You will drink the cup I drink and be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with. But to sit at my right or left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared." When the ten heard about this, they became indignant with James and John. Jesus called them together and said, "You know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be a slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Good morning, everyone. May I ask, how many of us have played musical chairs? Oh, quite a few. Brilliant. I love musical chairs. And I even played it on the day I was ordained last September. We know that in musical chairs, it is all about positioning yourself to get a seat. Amongst the players that day were our vicar Jessica and our church warden Ian. My goodness, how competitive they both were. Jumping, running, pushing, just to ensure they got a seat. I had to think twice, what have I got myself into? I'm joking. Don't take this seriously. Both of them were so gentle that they were out in the first few rounds. Our politicians play a similar game through elections for the best seat available, the prime minister's seat, so that they can gain power and authority. Even then, they at times fail to make the right decisions. Our disciples, Jesus' disciples, were similar. They wanted the best seat, one to the right and one to the left. Both James and John wanted the Taj, the crown, without the cross. Let us pray. Lord, your word is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path. Dear Lord, illuminate our paths with your word and lead us in the way of righteousness. Open our ears, O Lord, to hear your word and know your voice. Speak to our heart and strengthen our will, that we may serve you today, now, and always. Amen. So, in today's passage, we learn Jesus continues his journey towards Jerusalem, and the disciples continue their struggle to comprehend his teachings. A few weeks ago, we read about how Jesus pulled them aside and taught them an important lesson on humility after they argued about who was the greatest among them. Last week, he taught them another important lesson. Yet this week, they are once again contending for the best seat in the kingdom. My brothers and sisters in Christ, James and John were the only disciples that Jesus bestowed nicknames. They often displayed fiery evangelical zeal and extreme reactions. They even wanted to destroy a Samaritan village with fire for refusing to accept Jesus. The temper and quickness to anger inspired Jesus to nickname them the Sons of Thunder. James and John knew exactly who Jesus was. They knew his power and might. They had witnessed his miracles. They saw him raising Lazarus from the dead. They saw him healing the sick. They saw him turning water into wine. They saw him healing the lepers. They witnessed the transfiguration. But even then, they misunderstood what Jesus meant when he said, "We are going to Jerusalem and the Son of Man is going to be battered and bruised and nailed upon the cross, and the third day he will rise again." James and John might have failed to live up to the expectations of Jesus. They might have not understood most of the things that Jesus said. They might have not been able to comprehend his teachings. They might have not understood most of the things that Jesus said. They might have not been able to comprehend the transfiguration. They might have quarreled and argued about being the greatest, but Jesus was still kind to them. Jesus cared for them. Jesus loved them. In essence, Jesus mothered them, and we will come back to mothering later on in our talk. I believe another important aspect of this story is to note that James and John have separated themselves from Peter. Because in the gospel, we hardly hear the name of James and John without the name of Peter. It is always Peter, James, and John. They are a trio. A trilogy and a trinity. In fact, there are Jesus's inner circle. On the mountain of transfiguration, it was Peter, James, and John. When Jesus went to the home of Jairus, to heal his daughter at the point of death, he put everybody out except Jairus, his wife, and Peter, James, and John. In the Garden of Gethsemane, when Jesus wanted somebody to pray alongside him, it was Peter, James, and John. Mark documents this event due to its significance as it reflects Peter's experience of being left out by James and John. James and John come up with a request that excludes Peter. The reason might be their mother, Salome, wife of Zebedee, as she is the blood sister of Jesus' mother, Mary. James and John, Jesus' first cousins from his mother's side, believed they had a privilege, a special right and place above the other disciples because of their familial relationship. They say, "Teacher, we want that you do for us whatever we ask." And Jesus responds, "What do you want me to do? Let one of us sit at your right and the other on your left in your glory." This time, the disciples are discussing seating arrangements. This time, they want the right and the left seats on the throne of God. In Jewish life, authority is determined by the proportion to power. The teachers always walk in the center, and right hand or left hand places are for those who are lesser or even lesser in authority, but they are in proportion to power. The vicar's seat is always higher. The right hand and the left hand, who are closest to power and authority, always seem to have more rights and privileges than the rest of us. It's no coincidence. Proportion to power and authority is a clear indicator of one's level of influence and access to resources. But Jesus says, it's not about power or rank. It's about righteousness. James and John wanted the Taj, the crown, without the cross. Jesus is talking about going to the cross. He is talking about giving up his life, and they are arguing about seating arrangements. It is much like the world around us today. They all want power, from Russia to Ukraine, from Israel to Gaza, from China to America, from India to Pakistan. They all want to sit on the best seat to obtain power. Let one of us sit at your right hand and the other on your left in your glory. Jesus responds to James and John, "You don't know what you're asking for, because to sit on the right and on the left hand, it's going to cost you something. You will indeed drink the cup and go through the baptism, but right hand and left hand seats are not mine to give. But it is rewarded to them for whom it is being prepared." My brothers and sisters in Christ, until now, we have been viewing this passage from the outside. Let us step into the story. Where do we see ourselves? And may I ask, what changes? What changes when we step inside and take a place within the story? Once we take our place amongst them, we realize that this is not a picture. It's not a photo, but a mirror. This is not an X-ray, but an MRI. As we become one of the disciples, our true ambitions become exposed. We will realize that we might be filled with ambition and arrogance. And if we want to serve and be like Christ, we must crucify this arrogance and ambition to pave the way for an inner self to flourish. The competitive spirit the disciples were displaying is imperfect because their arrogance and ambition, and particularly their misunderstanding of measuring success, because success cannot be measured by seats. We cannot evaluate Christian progress by position. Our standard of holiness is not measured by prestige. Christians cannot measure themselves by competing, but only by cooperation. Christians need to understand that it's not about conflict, it's about fortification. Jesus sets everything about power on a different path, on a different level. The rule in Jesus' kingdom is that the way up is down. The greater the status, the lower the seat. But James and John wanted to become directors and CEOs in the kingdom. What seat are we looking for in the kingdom? Are we holding on to arrogance and ambition? We might have the wrong perception, like the disciples, that following Jesus might be easy. Following Jesus will rid us of all our worries. Our sickness will disappear, and following Jesus will eliminate chaos and disorder in our lives. But I tell you today, if we want to get close to Jesus, if we want to follow Jesus, we have to take up the cross. We have to deny ourselves. We will be gossiped about. People will take advantage of us. We will be mocked. Even Jesus said, in this world, you will face tribulations. If you want to follow me, get ready to be disliked. Sometimes by our brothers and sisters. Sometimes by our friends, by our loved ones. Be prepared for someone to plot against us. Be prepared to face tribulations. Jesus says to James and John, can you be baptized with my baptism? Can you drink from my cup? And without knowing what they were talking about, both James and John said, yes, we can. Without realizing that following Jesus does not mean being the director or CEO. It does not mean the right or the left seat in his kingdom. James and John did in fact drink the cup and were baptized with the same baptism as mentioned in Acts chapter 12. James, the first cousin of Jesus, was beheaded. John, the first cousin of Jesus, according to the traditions passed down in the first and second century, was thrown into a cauldron of boiling oil. My brothers and sisters in Christ, please remember, following Jesus does not mean achieving the best seat or a taj or a crown on our head. It's not about best clothes we wear, not about the best food we eat, not about how much money we have. To follow Jesus may and might mean that we lose our job. We lose our family. We might lose influence over others. We might come across financial adversities. We might end up with a tumor. We might go sleepy, hungry. We might lose a loved one. We might develop cancer. We might have mental health issues. And Jesus might not stop any of this from happening to us. Because in this world, we will face tribulation. But here is the good news. Because despite what we are going through, despite what's happening in our lives, Jesus said, I have overcome the world. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. James and John wanted the taj, the crown without the cross. The goodness of God's kingdom is not power, but service. And service is love made tangible. Service is words put into action. Service is not talking about being a Christian, but being Christ-like. Service is helping somebody who cannot help us back. Service is talking and sharing Jesus with others outside our church context. Service is spreading the good news of the gospel. We don't come to the HTSJ every Sunday morning to serve, but to worship. This is not a church service. This is a worship service. To spiritually nourish ourselves and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Service is to go outside and do what Jesus died for. Service is to go outside and do what Jesus died for. Are we still finding the best seat on the right and the left in his kingdom? Or are we taking up the cross and serving others? I believe I had a Christ-like figure in my life. In fact, if I have seen Christ, I have seen it in my father. Someone who served as a true disciple of Christ, who dedicated his life for me. I was 4 years old when my mom died, and I was the youngest of my siblings. I vaguely remember anything, but what I remember, I tell you. My father raised me by giving me the best education possible. He did his very best to ensure I had the best clothes, the best shoes, and the best food. He cared for me. He loved me. He forgave me. He walked beside me in times of adversity. He was Christ to me. In the same way, our mothers care for us, which reminds me it's Mother's Day. I don't know what a mother's love is. I don't know how it feels to receive and experience mother's love. But when I see my wife showing love to my daughter, I witness the same through my father. When I see you loving your child, I understand because I receive the same from my father. When I see you overlooking your child's mistakes, I remember my father. He cared for me in the same way as you care for your children. He forgave me in the same way as you forgive your children. He was kind in the same way as you are kind to your children. When I see you nurturing your children, I could understand a mother's love. My father mothered me as well as fathered me. When I lost him, I did not only lose a father, I lost my mother as well. Mothers are the most beautiful creation God has made. So happy Mother's Day, everyone. The Christ in my father mothered me and enabled and helped me to be who I am today. Likewise, I see in this passage, Jesus mothered his disciples, and each time they fell short of comprehending his teachings or argued amongst themselves, Jesus showed the qualities of a mother towards his disciples. He cared for them just like you, and he was kind to them just like you. He loved them just like you, and he served them just like you. If I saw Christ in this world, I saw it in my father, who sacrificed his ambitions and mothered me. The disciples had Christ in their lives, enabling them to do great things? Who is that Christ figure in your life? Have you recognized him? Are you listening to him? Are you serving him? Have you dedicated your life to him? If not, I strongly urge you to let us put down that arrogance, that ambition, and listen to Christ in our lives. Let us serve him by not finding the best seat, but by finding the best way to serve others. Let us serve him not by finding the best seat, but by finding the best way to serve others. Let us not want the Taj, the crown without the cross. Let us not want the Taj, the crown without the cross. Let us not want the Taj, the crown without the cross. God bless us all. Amen.